And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Sitting here in the new Right Side studio, enjoying my day. And so coming up now, I'm pleased to have him on. You know, number one on the Triple Dipper, I'm calling it China brinksmanship, because we're seeing news is breaking, like literally as the show is coming on. Speaker Nancy Pelosi is indeed going to Taiwan. Taiwan is, at odds with the mainland Chinese government. China, the mainland China, has just bowed up in a big way and is sending out threats, not just from its pundits now, but even its foreign ministry is sending out threats that this is a new day right now. But what's really galling, too, and I'll get into more of the stuff about the brinksmanship, but what's been galling for quite some time for me and for a number of others is China's unmitigated gall at trying to influence our culture. One of the chief ways they've done this over time now, like literally working the issue, because they play the long game a lot of times. They've been working the issue through something called Confucius Institutes. Some of you all heard of it, but I want to bring somebody on who's been in the thick of the battle against Confucius Institutes. My friend Clint Reed, he and I met each other several years ago. Clint has been the statewide chairman of the College Republican Federation of Alabama. Just relinquished that post here in the last couple months, but still, nonetheless, very active, very conservative, and has been in the thick of things against Confucius Institute. So without further ado, let me welcome my friend Clint Reed back to the show. Clint, how you doing today, man?
Doing well, Senator Williams. I just wanted to congratulate you on your recent syndication. That's really exciting. I've worked really hard on this show, and it's good to see that's paid off.
All right, thanks, man. I appreciate it. We'll just keep marching across the state. That's the plan. But
yes, sir.
Hey, so listen, Clint, you guys, and it was during your tenure as chairman of the College Republicans of Federation of Alabama, you guys had a strategic plan to go after Confucius Institutes, because we had at least two of them here in the state of Alabama, right?
We did, and at one point we had three, but one closed down at Auburn and Montgomery, and the one at Alabama A&M recently said they were to be closing, but it's still unclear if they have completely closed, because an issue that has come up as these Confucius Institutes closed, because at one point, I think there was 104 in the entire country, or that have closed. But what's happening is they're rebranding, and that's something like at the College of William and Mary, they established the WNM-BNU collaborative partnership with Beijing University, which was the same university that they had a partnership with when they had their Confucius Institute. So they're really just changing their name and just rebranding, and that's kind of making it harder to track. But they're offering the same courses. The same president of the Confucius Institute comes in and is the same president of the new collaborative thing. So it's kind of popping up at some of these schools. Thankfully, that hasn't been the case here in Alabama. We still only have at least the one at Troy University. So we've been fortunate with that.
Well, and, you know, by the way, I did get an email. I don't know if you heard it before you came on the air. There was an email from a listener who told me they wanted me to tell it anonymously, but that the Alabama A&M Institute, Confucius Institute, apparently has closed, at least in its existing capacity, you know, the way we knew it before. Mm-hmm. That being said, back up the storyline here a little bit for the listeners, because you dealt with this a lot. You worked with your congressional delegation. You worked with state leaders. You even went down to Montgomery lobbying state legislatures to make sure they understood what was being funded in our state universities. And all of that to say, where was the money coming from to fund Confucius Institutes, and what did they do? What was so egregious about them?
So the money was coming straight from the Chinese Communist Party, and it would go to the Hanban, which is like an educational kind of program, and then it would be distributed to these schools. And they would pay for the instructors. They would pay for renovations if that was necessary to house these classes. They would pay for textbook materials, but those, of course, come with strings attached. So we would constantly see where professors would have to self-censor because they don't want to lose that funding. So they wouldn't talk about also the atrocities of the Chinese Communist Party, whether that be the Tiananmen Square massacre. They would have to teach that Taiwan and Tibet are in fact parts of China and not their own independent state.
Yeah.
And it's really just a soft power way to try to change the narrative to the up and coming generation of American leaders that these things belong to China, and China is not a bad actor. And that's been an issue because it ingrains in these college students. And when they learn something in college, you think you're being taught the truth, but that's always obviously not the case.
Yeah, we have a thing in the military called psychological operations, or PSYOPs, and what it basically is a portion of the military whose mission is to help shape the narrative, to help shape the messaging, if you will, of the military in whatever theater of operations is ongoing. But this is China literally trying to shape the narrative or conduct PSYOPs on the American people by giving them this gift of education about China the way they want it to be seen, right?
That's exactly it. And like I said, it's their soft power apparatus. And it's not just in the United States. We've seen it in Europe, which many European countries have closed their Confucius Institutes. But we're also seeing it a lot in Africa, where education needs further investment. And they're happy to take the money from the CCP. And you're seeing, you know, investment in infrastructure in Africa up to the point of, you know, billions and billions and billions. And the same thing here in the United States, where we have sold the Chinese Communist Party over 192,000 acres of farmland.
Yeah.
So it's definitely something that we need to be vigilant about, because, like you said earlier, they're playing the long game here. And if we don't start playing the long game too, then we're gonna lose.
Well, so tell me this then, Clint. You guys, the College Republican Federation of Alabama, y'all created this you guys took this opportunity to declare this as a project. And it went on for a period of time. Talk about your efforts and what kind of either resistance or acceptance you got of the message you were bringing.
So we started in my first year, and that would have been in 2020 during COVID. Obviously, the Chinese Communist Party was a hot topic because of their trying to keep COVID under wraps, and therefore it turned into a full-blown pandemic. So we, you know, we studied the situation. We got help from some D.C. people who have been looking at Confucius Institutes for years. And we had model legislation drafted, and we had a sponsor in the State House and in the State Senate to just close these Confucius Institutes. But we did run into some resistance, because some folks in the legislature were worried that there would be unintended consequences, such as a reduction in Chinese students coming from China to universities here in the state, or even retaliation from Chinese manufacturers closing their facilities here in the state.
Okay.
And that's kind of what China, you know, it's kind of what they do. They give you this money, they give you this cash, and then they're like, well, if you don't play by our rules, then we're going to take it. And, you know, sometimes states like Alabama, we can afford to lose that influx of cash, because that's, you know, jobs that hardworking Alabamians need to put food on their table.
So you said that Auburn Montgomery had a campus. It closed down. We think that Alabama A&M closed down. Troy State still exists as far as we know, correct?
Yes, and that is, and Troy is one of what they have called their crowning jewel when it comes to Confucius Institutes. If you've been on the campus, you will see that they have terracotta soldiers there. They send students to China. They send elected officials to China through the Confucius Institute at Troy on trips. It's just part of their – the issue is that local legislators, state officials, they don't always understand the nefarious acts that the CCP is trying to play. Because, you know, it's more of a national issue, and that's where the CCP is taking advantage. They are coming into these local communities to local leaders to manipulate them so they can further ingrain themselves on the next generation of Americans.
Well, that's short-sighted, though. I mean, it doesn't take much to look at the world and decide that even if you're a state legislator, that that China should be something you would be wary of. That being said, you know, I look at the way that China has been handling this situation and has been, you know, pushing itself into every aspect of society. I don't know if people realize this, and I'm not sure if it still is or not, but Troy State University, which is one of their crown jewels, you said, for Confucius Institutes, it was also, for the longest time, it was the university of choice for the U.S. military to do distance learning for soldiers who needed a degree while they were still in uniform anywhere in the world. And I don't know if that plays in or not, or if Confucius Institute studies became a part of what the U.S. military would wind up taking advantage of for a degree, but has that been something ever on your radar?
So we have looked at that, because when you think of the CCP, you can't think that anything is a coincidence,
right?
Because that would be a mistake. So if you look at, you know, the two most recent functioning ones here in Alabama, one in Huntsville, where obviously NASA has a large presence, defense contractors, you know, American military has a large presence in Huntsville. And then if you go to Troy, you look in the wire graph and you see we have Fort Rucker. We have military installations. We have, you know, leaders coming out of there. So it's definitely concerning when you look at the locations of where these Confucius Institutes were placed, because I think it was an intentional placement.
Was there any member of our state U.S. delegation who was most helpful? Like, you don't have to name names if you don't want to about those who just didn't give you a whole lot of time. But was there anybody who said, that's a horrible thing and I'm going to help you with that?
Yeah, I know a few members of our congressional delegation were helpful in getting us a. So we had a briefing with the FBI in Montgomery with some state legislators, and members of our delegation were helpful in getting that put together. And the FBI just kind of laid out where the statistics on professors that self-censor, professors that quit doing their research because they're being afraid that they're being their surveillance on them and they don't feel safe doing their research.
Wow.
So it really jeopardizes academic freedom, because you go to university to learn, to experiment, to just really broaden the horizons of education. And you can't do that when you have, quite literally a communist regime breathing down your neck. It's just dangerous for the students, dangerous for the professor. And then the CCP uses these institutes to monitor their students that are abroad. There was a student at, I believe it was a New England university. They spoke ill of the party and they were forced to go back home and forced to apologize, and their opportunity in America was taken away from them.
Wow.
So it's things like this where I don't understand why we're still like kowtowing to the CCP and allowing them to make these kind of decisions, these investments, and where we continue to lose the long game. Because you're exactly right. This is a long game they are playing. They are looking 40 years down the line instead of at tomorrow like we are.
Yeah, and listen, Clint, in our last couple of minutes here, you sent me a screenshot of a post on social media by Troy University, Chinese Students and Scholars Association. And it was a 2016 mm-hmm. post, but it was still significant to me that this occurred. Talk about that for a minute.
So members of the Confucius Institute that are funded by the state, by the CCP, they held a ceremony on campus where they actually raised the CCP flag on Troy University's campus while they played the national anthem. And I know a lot of folks out there were pretty concerned about it. It was sent to me, after we started working on this project, it was sent to me, and people were just kind of outraged because, I mean, it's a communist nation. They are our biggest geopolitical foe on the face of the nation, or the face of this earth, and we're allowing them to have this kind of influence and this kind of presence anywhere in this country. It's concerning.
Well, and that was, by the way, that was the Chinese national anthem, not the U.S. national anthem, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Well, more to come on this, I suspect, but right now we're watching China posture itself hard, pushing back on, and you and I can probably agree that Nancy Pelosi is not our favorite politician in the world, but she's still our Speaker of the House, and the idea that they would threaten her travels and try to dictate where an American leader can and cannot go is pretty galling at this point.
No, and props to her if she goes through with this trip, because I think she should. I think it's important, especially we've seen our foreign policy failures under President Biden time and time again, whether it's Afghanistan, whether it's Ukraine. And we cannot afford for Taiwan to fall to the CCP like Hong Kong did. We have to stand strong. We have to protect the Taiwanese.
Well, listen, man, I appreciate your time. I appreciate the work you did through CRFA, and I know that you're still dabbling in politics, and I suspect we'll see you around in that regard. And I'd love to get you up here in the Right Side studio at some point.
Yes, sir. I look forward to it, and it's always a pleasure.
All right, man. Clint Reed, thanks so much for your time.
Hey, thank you, sir. Bye.
All right. That's a sharp guy, I'm just telling you. Well, Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We'll do the break right now. Come back, kind of wrap that section up. But folks, this is what we call a near peer adversary. This is not somebody who is on par with us, but they want to be, or they want to be more than on par with us, and they are an adversary. Make no bones about it. The rhetoric that we're seeing right now, the posturing on the world stage, this is not what happens between friends, if you know what I'm saying. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. More of that. We'll be right back.